Southern Oregon University does not have an agriculture major, but it does have The Farm, and that's the name for it, The Farm at SOU. It's not a big farm, a couple of acres, 5.5, I guess, is what it really is, but it does make a statement about sustainability. And as the years go by, interest in The Farm grows, along with the features. Those will soon include a pavilion to allow a variety of events. We have the architect with us to talk about the project and the farm itself. Christopher Brown is an architect. He is with a company called Architect, that's with K's, Design and Architecture. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
How much did you know about The Farm before you were got involved in this project?
You know, I knew it was an experimental organic farm project going on at SOU. I didn't have much background with the program itself. It was sort of a surprise visit by the director of sustainability program, Nancy Shaw, and Vincent Smith, and then Barry and Catherine Thalden one afternoon at my office to just talk about the potential of designing a small pavilion there, outdoor classroom type of space.
So in a case like this, where this is not like building somebody's home or something, it's a particular thing with a particular set of functions. I mean, did you immediately then go out to the farm and get familiar with it?
I did. You know, I remember that first meeting well. It was, you know, I thought it was going to be something similar to kind of a picnic table and a small overhang, and I was quite surprised when we first sat down and met and looked at what their hopes and aspirations were there. You know, I'd originally offered to just kind of take the project on for free pro bono, and that was quickly turned down and said, no, if we do this project, we're gonna really go all the way with it and make it something special. So, you know, I was really excited for the opportunity. I've always had a love for sustainability and a passion for that, especially in these times. And so it just seemed like a perfect opportunity to bring that to play.
As you've come to know the features of the farm itself, I mean, what are some of the things that go on there that make it sustainable?
Well, you know, I think the real focus is on sort of returning to the fundamentals of permaculture and being able to work with our soil in this valley and climate conditions to foster an efficient, clean, organic way of kind of creating that farm-to-table type of harvesting and growing. I think also really teaching future generations how to work with the earth and not rely on pesticides, not rely on, you know, chemical growth products to get the food out that we need, and really just working with natural microbial kind of generation and also experimental crops. You know, I think that we're really seeing the climate change here right now, and working towards that adaptation in our local practices, being flexible in that, not trying to think that we can still do things the way we've done them for hundreds of years and expect that it's all going to just work out the same. So it's
not a huge place for the kind of work that's going on. I mean, 5.5 acres is not a tremendous amount of land, but I mean, so what kinds of things have you seen growing there?
Well, you know, that's the thing. I think, especially with organic agriculture, it's you don't need a lot of space. I mean, to really work 5 acres, that's a lot. That's a lot to put in, especially with a, you know, a crew of say 20 to 30 primarily volunteer students, and they've been, you know, doing pretty much all your standard, like kales, tomatoes, peppers, broccolis, brassicas, and then working now with some vineyard development as well. They've got bees going in. They've got some fruit trees, some sort of food forest development happening as well. And I think that really just constantly trying to push the boundaries there and bring in new thoughts and ideas of agriculture and production. I know a lot of the food grown there has been served in the SOU cafeterias, which is great. So it's directly, you know, the students are directly benefiting from that. There's been a lot of CSA work and the groundwork laid for CSA, community-supported agriculture, happening there.
So people can get subscriptions and get produce from the farm every so often?
Correct, yep. And then, you know, as well as just an abundance made local for the, you know, there's, at the end of the year, there's just a lot of bounty there and kind of just putting it out in the boxes and letting the public come and kind of reap the harvest, which is a wonderful thing.
And now that you mention it, I mean, the fact is that you wouldn't grow like all of one thing anyway, because that is kind of the point of sustainability and permaculture, is that you grow things the way the earth used to grow them, a lot of different things together.
Yeah, I think diversity is the name of the game, you know, and just trying to keep as mobile and nimble in that regard as possible, and still have, you know, some fruits to show for the labors at the end of the day.
Literally.
Yeah. Yep.
The farm at SOU is the topic of discussion here. SOU being Southern Oregon University. Christopher Brown is an architect who has designed a structure, a pavilion that will be opening this spring at the farm. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Maybe you have experiences with the farm or have an interest in permaculture and sustainability. We'd like to hear from you. Join the conversation at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So was this how different is this from any other architecture project, in the sense that I get a feeling you would want to go there and spend some time and just sort of let it, I don't know, marinate in it or something to get a real feel for what was asked of you?
Yeah, that was, you know, the original master plan for SOU had a specific area there set for this pavilion. We were able to work with that with the city and massage it a little bit and get our setting right. You know, I think that was an important thing. There's some beautiful sycamore trees there on site and an existing sort of farm supply shed that we were kind of working within those constraints, as well as a beautiful small little wetland area there. And we just really wanted to find a space that complemented, you know, the existing site features. So often I think we see architecture as a kind of a stamp that's imposed on the land. And this one was much more about really listening to the land and finding where this space nestled in and fit naturally that would allow for the programmatic goals of the structure.
Which I love the description of it. It's a center for outrageous innovation.
Yes,
I can't imagine you get a lot of calls to design the centers for outrageous innovation.
No, it's kind of one of those things that just really opens up a lot of doors there. And I mean, that's, to me, that these overlays of use and function are really informing the way that we're kind of perceiving the current and the problems that we're dealing with on a daily basis too. It's not just A plus B equals C equation anymore. We're really trying to look at multidisciplinary overlays within a space and how they can work and function.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you and your experiences, because you're from the region originally, but had a chance to get out and see a bit of the world before you decided to come back here and settle.
Yep. I grew up in Yreka, California. I was born down in Mount Shasta and, you know, left high school at 18 and started down at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo for engineering initially, and then transferred into the architecture program after my first year there, and never really looked back. You know, it was a great synthesis of both art and kind of the sciences, and it's just provided an incredible number of opportunities for travel and study internationally, and then really what better place to come home to than the Pacific Northwest here, specifically, you know, the Jefferson State region, and just really glad to be home.
So, but you've had the chance to look at some work in architecture and how it can be different in other parts of the world. It's not just an American thing.
Yes. Yeah, I really believe that architecture and design are international languages in a lot of ways. You know, I feel like there's a shared common sense of values that crosses boundaries and borders just by the nature of structure and shelter. And yeah, I was able to do some studies in Kyoto and then over to Copenhagen as well in Denmark for a year and traveled through Turkey as well, which, you know, I think the more you can take in, especially in those formative years of education, and just being kind of free and out on a walkabout, really helped to kind of expand the horizons.
Were there some real whoa moments on those travels? You know, they thought, wow, I didn't think you could make a building quite like that.
Definitely some of that. And then to me, architecture is so much more really about the people. I mean, I think we see it as a structure, but all these structures are really responses to the current of society. And to me, people really make the architecture work. And so some of those experiences, you know, were just being on a low budget with a backpack and finding myself in a strange place or a train station, and then suddenly finding, you know, finding a shelter, a friend that had a house, that had a place, and then all of a sudden you're sort of in this little localized community of different lifestyle and patterns that really, I think, were just incredible opportunities to see things from a different perspective.
To get to know people as well as the structures around
yes.
them.
Yes, yep.
We're talking again to Christopher Brown, the architect for the pavilion being built at the farm at SOU. So it's a chance to explore his career and his creation and the farm itself. You may join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. So a Center for Outrageous Innovation, we already mentioned. What were the required elements as identified to you in those meetings?
Well, basically what we were really seeking to do there and what you know, Nancy and Vincent and Barry and Catherine all really brought to the table where they wanted essentially like an open source hub that could kind of unify these disciplines across the board, you know, sustainability and permaculture and farming, theater, art, music, the sciences, really trying to create an instrument or a platform that could build bridges and essentially function as a structure for learning or an educational structure in a way as well. That it could be used, you know, not only to just fulfill those purposes, but then also adapt and allow for the unknown moving into the future, you know, with sort of an indeterminate end function and goal.
So places for people to gather and the reasons for their gathering could be quite varied, it sounds like.
Yes, very much so. And I think a lot of our focus became not on the explicit form and structure itself, but essentially the negative space. And that's not a negative as in a bad thing.
Right.
That's the void or creating the space within that.
Between the walls.
Between the walls, mm-hmm. Yes, between these roof planes and these... You know, where we've got this, the space itself is almost like a series of color in the lines type of scenario, you know, where we've defined these planes and boundaries, but then it's kind of like free at will to fill in the colors and see how they all mix and play out.
Well, we obviously have some visual limitations, this being radio, but can you give us an oral sketch, I guess, as it were, about roughly what you did here?
Yeah, it's you know, we've kind of got this vocabulary that we've used to describe the structure, and it's essentially three large nesting geometric wings that shelter essentially a 1,600 square foot hexagonal stage. These wings are connected in tension to a large obelisk or a tower with a series of sails as well that will be used seasonally, you know, to provide some shelter there as well for the summer months, and then taken down in the winter. And there's also an ancillary kitchen laboratory storage area of about 450 square feet, which supports both farm operations and provides access to stainless steel counter surfaces and a prep sink. It's an interesting story. The impetus there, or one of the real goals of this, from Barry Thalden's perspective, was to create sort of a place marker or a time in a marker in time and space that really kind of gave reference to this crossroads that we're at right now, as far as, you know, where we're going in society between you know, technology and agriculture and both of those, similar to 2001 Space Odyssey, kind of those large plinths that started to land.
The monolith,
when the monkeys first discovered tools, and sort of feeling like we're at one of those crossroads right now where we really need to understand which path are we walking on here.
Right. But you did not build the black block. I want to be clear on that.
We did not build a black block, but...
You seem to be fond of triangles, though. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. You know, that was interesting. The geometry really, really directed a lot of... a lot of the design here. We started kind of mapping the site with different geometries, and then we ended up working with an isometric grid rather than a square grid, which consists of triangles. You know, triangles are kind of the building block of all geometry, and as that triangle evolved and developed, it sort of turned into a pinwheel form, and then it morphed into a nautilus with the pi ratio and the golden mean that kind of gave it this nested geometry. We wanted that to sort of be a building block of kind of ABCs of growth and natural systems and how that order is defined in real world growth too.
The design won an award. Is that what I'm hearing?
We did. We were honored by the American Institute of Architects out in Washington, D.C. We received recognition for emerging architecture and civic design, and we actually sent out our large 3-foot model to Washington, D.C., and it was on display all summer out at their headquarters. So,
oh, that's impressive.
Yeah, it was a neat.
Let me sneak in a quick question here from Stephen in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Christopher Brown, the architect.
Thank you. Hello, Christopher.
Hi, Stephen.
I was interested to speak with you about various aspects of the architectural design, because it's kind of a global idea that we're on a planet here that is a sentient being itself, and how real estate and design fit into the space of how people can have a home, how to build shelters. I've been working with Ferro Cement and foam concrete, which is a very stable new type of material to fit into the global structure.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for that, Stephen. I need to move on here, because let me ask about what kinds of things on a farm about sustainability, what choices you made about materials and things like that.
Yeah, I think Stephen had a good point there. You know, the lens of sustainability across the board has so much to do with materials. And, you know, to me, you really break down that word and it's essentially about the ability to sustain, right? So, so often we may look explicitly to, you know, throw solar panels on something that makes it sustainable, or build it out of straw bales, and that's immediately. And, you know, the ferro cement as well that Stephen mentioned there, there's a lot of new experimental materials coming out that I think are really leading the way in these common perceptions of use and energy, and everything really is embodied energy. And so when we're looking at our greatest, you know, payout in that, or, you know, how long a material is going to retain its structural competency and We're looking at something that can utilize resources locally, you know, typically within a 500-mile radius. We're also looking at resources that utilize the skills and the abilities of the community at large, you know, the local workforce to a degree, and then also really trying to bring in an explicit reference to references and resources that we have here just within our local watershed, you know, similar to the use of the timbers and trying to work with that palette in a way that is unique and different, but still, you know, gives us that life cycle that we're looking here.
And it's been a fairly mild winter, so is the structure nearly done?
It is, yeah. We're right at about 85% now. We're on the home stretch. You know, we've finished fabrication of the obelisk, and we're getting ready to put that up next week.
April 20th, then you got the ribbon cutting for the Thalden Pavilion out at the farm at SOU, designed by Christopher Brown, the architect. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.